Coming up, Google takes Nexus one step farther. We'll talk about two hot new tablets, the WTV Play, the world's little teeniest book reader. Wow. The Kobo. And I've got a review of the Roku 3. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. And by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy.
Hey, welcome to Before You Buy, the Twit product review show where we get a lot of great products in. We ask our staff to take a look at them and give you the bottom line. Try, buy, or don't buy. Our producer, Shannon Morse, is here. Snubs. Hello, Snubs.
Hello, Leo.
Hello. Host of Threat Level. Threat Wire.
Threat Wire.
Threat Wire.
Level is on Wired or something.
Yeah, that's the Wired blog. You're right. Yeah, Threat Wire on the tech channel, Tech Feed.
Yes.
YouTube.com/Tech Feed.
That's correct.
She also is the producer of this show and hosts many other shows on the Twit Network in my dreams.
Oh, yes.
But first.
It will happen.
Soon, I hope. We're working on some, actually. Mm-hmm. First, I wanted to get your review of this new Dell. It's the Inspiron 15Z. First of all, who is this laptop for? It is a desktop replacement, it looks like.
It is definitely a desktop replacement. It's not something that I would necessarily travel with, although they do say that this is an ultrabook. It weighs about 5 pounds.
That's nervy.
I know, right?
Yeah. It's not an ultrabook.
It weighs way too much to take with you on an airplane, believe me. So about the insides of this little guy, the one that I am running is a Core i5. This is the 33i7U processor, the third generation. They also have a new upgraded version, which is the 3337U. So you can get a little bit faster gigahertz for actually $100 less than this original one.
Well, I'm confused. It costs less to get more?
It costs less to get more. Yeah, they actually dropped the price. So this one right here is on sale right now on Dell.com for $799.
Well, that's a good price.
It was originally $899.
Okay.
Yeah.
How high res is that screen?
It only goes up to 1366 by 768. So it's 720p.
I hate it when they do that.
Yeah. So it's 15 inches. It's
for a screen that size, I'd like to see a higher res.
I would really like a higher screen because I think it would look much, much better. It looks kind of cartoonish at this size. And that's actually one of my cons to actually speak of. A couple of other things to note about it. It's got a nice little 500 gig hard drive inside of it, as well as a 32 gig solid state. So you're going to have that nice rapid reboot time. So you don't have to worry about that. And it also comes with that nice 6 gigs of RAM instead of 4 gigs, which is kind of unusual for this type of ultrabook.
Price, yeah,
I would expect it to be 4 gigs, but they actually upgraded to 6 gigs, mm-hmm. which is nice. It's Windows 8, just the normal version. It's not Pro. And it also has BGNN wireless as well as Bluetooth.
You mentioned it's a touchscreen. Let me see the tiles. Press the Windows button. Let's see how responsive it is.
Bam.
Now slide those around because
one thing I liked about this, you may look at this and say, "Oh, that bezel is huge. Right. Now, that's a lot of black space." But it's covered in Gorilla Glass from edge to edge, so you're not going to have any kind of lip here to deal with whenever you're trying to get to your charms bar.
Plus, you slide in from the side so often, a little bit of a bezel doesn't bother me because it kind of gives you a target for
you. Yeah, and I think that was really smart of Dell to do this so you don't have any kind of problems getting your finger over that lip.
Right. You're right, though, about the cartoony icons. I mean, those are so big on that screen.
It's just huge.
Yeah.
And I'm at the highest resolution, 1366, 768. It's not that great. I really wish they would have gone with a higher resolution.
How's the keyboard?
The keyboard is awesome. It's a regular size keyboard. It's backlit. It also has spill proof, so no worries about spilling anything on it. I love that it's backlit. I hate it whenever you get an ultrabook that doesn't include that. It's also kind of hard, So when you're typing on it,
firm hard.
It's firm hard, yeah. Not and I'm actually hard. I'm a pretty firm typer, so right. This doesn't bother me that much, but it might bother some other people. Their touchpad right here, it does have a lip on it. So whenever you're trying to get to your charms bar, you have to take it kind of slow. Right. You can't be quick about it, or it's not going to be responsive with that.
Okay.
So it's a little bit tricky to get your hands on that. Couple of other things to note. It has a nice little webcam right here. I actually took a picture or two, if I can get to those. Where's my camera? So there's a picture of me. Yeah. Isn't it beautiful? It's very grainy.
It's very manga.
Very grainy.
Your eyes are
there's
huge.
There's me squishing Jeff's head. Yeah. Can you go up? Hi.
Hi-yo.
Hi-yo. Yeah, so I didn't really like the camera that much. Another thing to mention, it uses Skullcandy speakers, and it gets really, really loud, but it's kind of muffled when you get to the highest
speakers are ported on the side there, it looks like.
Yeah. So there's...
Or the bottom.
They're right here.
The bottom. Okay.
There's
okay.
one right there and then one right here, and right. It has a little Skullcandy logo on it, so you don't forget.
Right. Because we couldn't afford Beats.
Of course.
Yeah.
The battery lasts around 4 to 5 hours. Unfortunately, on their website, they tote 7 hours, but I couldn't get it up to that time. Maybe when you put it to sleep, it lasts 7 hours, but not for me. It was only about 4 to 5,
okay.
Which is still pretty average for right. the mainstream, yeah. especially in this price point. So that's not really a con issue with it. Few other things to mention. The weight, of course, it's 5 pounds. It's, what else is there? Oh, there's the thinness of it, too.
Which is not that thin.
Yeah, it's a little bit less than 1 inch.
It sure doesn't feel like an ultrabook to me.
That feels like a notebook. And then it has all USB 3.0, thank
okay,
God.
Okay, good. So it must be an Ivory Bridge.
Comes
press.
With a nice little DVD writer.
Right and here. You have an optical drive.
You
good.
Do, yeah. All right. Has the ST port, of course.
So really, this is just a lightweight desktop replacement is yeah. what it is. HDMI on there?
HDMI, full HDMI, so you don't That's have nice. To deal with micro,
this would be a good
you
student.
Do with the Acer
Looks
ones.
Like it would be a good student machine, maybe.
Yeah, it definitely would be. It does have a plasticky top to it.
Which is buckling as you touch it.
Yeah, watch that.
Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Okay.
And also,
That's
right
a place
here
you could store
bottom,
something in the top
I
there.
Tilt this upside down.
Yeah.
It buckles right here as well,
okay.
right underneath the CD yeah. RW player. And that's, I would say that's because it's made of plastic around here. And then it also has metal around the edges.
Okay.
So.
Pros and cons.
Pros and cons of this guy. The pros would be the really responsive screen and the touchpad. It's pretty responsive as far as like the mouse goes.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed on some Lenovos that I've tried, the touchpad isn't that great. So props on that, even though there's a lip. And then the price for the specs. You get really, really good specs for less than $1,000.
I like the SSD. It's not a huge SSD, but at least it's something.
Yeah, exactly. And then the cons, of course, the brightness of this screen is not that great. And the resolution, of course, which I mentioned.
Yeah.
The speakers, which sound kind of tinny or muffled at when you get them too loud. And then it's heavy. It's 5 pounds. So I wouldn't call it an ultrabook, but you know, some people would. So all in all, I have to give this a try. I think it would be a really good desktop replacement if you're not planning to move it around from place to place. But if you do plan to travel with something, I would choose something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because of that buckling lid.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Shannon. It's the Dell Inspiron 15Z. Starts around $700 for a pretty well-equipped machine, actually. All right. Thank you so much. Shannon produces this show. Ayaz Akhtar gave us a review of this little unit. Actually, this is going to kind of be an interesting comparison to the Roku 3 we're going to review later in the show. This is Western Digital's WDTV Play. Let's take a look.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar with Twit, and today I'm taking a look at the WDTV Play. That's this little guy. This is effectively a $70 network streamer, and it handles a lot of online services. A lot of people think this device is head-to-head up against the Roku, and it pretty much is. At $70, it's very low cost, and it runs a bunch of apps. You can see that on the screen here. This is our favorites page. It shows you a bunch of default things. We've got weather, we've got our storage, you've got some special offers. YouTube, an app you won't find on Roku, is available. Also Spotify, Netflix, Hulu Plus. These kinds of things are available on the WDTV Play, which is a bit of a mouthful. When you get the device, it comes with a remote with dedicated buttons for Hulu Plus, Netflix, and Vudu. If you've been wondering, hey, where's Amazon on this? There's no Amazon Video On Demand service available on this product, which is a bit of a downer. But as you've noticed with the device, I have a USB device into here because this Play can handle local storage as well as network storage. So if you have a bunch of things on a media server, you can access it with your WD TV Play. Now, I love to test out big freaking files. So I'm going to test out a MKV of a Blu-ray rip of some of the movies I have. So right now, I went into the My Storage application, and I navigated to a UPnP server I have on the network. The WD TV Play will access DLNA and UPnP sources. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to play one of my movies. Let's go with Iron Man. This is an over 20 gigabyte MKV. Now you're going to see how long it takes to load, just a tiny bit of time. And this is going over my network. So it took about 3 to 5 seconds for the actual video to start from once we selected it. So what's going on, you can see the playback is very smooth. I've got to say that the WD TV Play, again, a mouthful of a name, this device has handled MKVs admirably. Unfortunately, there's no DTS decoding on board. So if you have a DTS audio source like on your Blu-ray, you won't be able to hear that. Now, it does do pass-through DTS, which means your receiver can decode it if your receiver does that. In my case, my receiver can't do that, so some of my MKVs don't have audio. The device is very responsive to every remote press I've done. Play, pause, skip, forward. It does a great job with that. It's pretty snappy, even with these monstrous files going over the network. I mean, I don't think you would even notice that this is not the Blu-ray that's playing back. It's running through that tiny box. Now, the WD TV Play supports a lot of different files. It does not support DivX, which is a little bit of a downer as well. So no DTS decoding and no DivX support. It also does not play back video TS folders. So unless you have ISOs of your DVDs, you won't be able to play them back. Audio, it handled everything I threw at it, but I only have a couple of formats, MP3s, M4As, and they worked fine. As for the other apps that are on this device, there is a Netflix application. It's not anything spectacular. It's very reminiscent of every other Netflix application. Perhaps it best resembles the PS3. And you can see it takes a little bit for it to actually connect to the Netflix application. Like I said, very PS3-like, and it does a decent job. The Hulu Plus application, also very stock. Doesn't seem to be customized at all for the WD TV Play. So it's very similar to the Roku application or even Hulu Plus desktop. Let's watch some playback of SNL starring Justin Timberlake, that man of many talents and new MySpace backer. So what I've been doing is I've been controlling the Play using the iOS app. WD actually puts out applications, so if you want to use a device like an iOS device, you can control your Play without needing line of sight, which is always a pleasant experience. The remote itself is kind of ugly, and it's built for a smaller iOS device. I'm using it on an iPad, so it's a little blown up, but it does work very well. You have access to all the services, so instead of you having to go through all the menus throughout the on-screen display, you can just go and find them and go, I'm going to launch Netflix from here, and it'll work that way behind me. So it's actually very powerful when you don't want to use the on-screen menu. Let's talk about the pros and cons of this device. Pros, local and network video support. That is something that just outshines the Roku completely. If you have networked video and they're in the right format, the Play will handle that very well. It handles giant files over the network great. The MKVs played excellent. We're talking 20, 30 gigabyte files running fine. There's also Sling Player and YouTube apps. So if you have a Sling box you want to connect to, you could use the Play to get that Sling content. There's also Wi-Fi built in, so that's another plus. On the cons, there's no DTS decoding and no DivX support. So if you have files with those codecs, you're not going to be able to listen or watch them. The app selection is a bit small. There is no app store. The way you get new applications is via firmware updates. So is the Play a try, buy, or don't buy? It's definitely a try. At $70, you have a lot of different powerful options on this device. If you have a bunch of stuff on your network, it's definitely a very good device for that. Although, I would have liked to see some more support for things like DTS and DivX, because let's be serious, if you're using something like the Play, you might be a bit of a nerd like me or you.
He is a nerd. That's Iyaz Akhtar, host of TNT, and, of course, our know-how host. He's going to be reviewing a Popcorn Hour. I know the chat room was asking about that. A little later on, he has the new Popcorn Hour. It's interesting because this is cheaper than the Roku. I'm going to show the Roku 3 in just a little bit. It has some additional features the Roku doesn't have, but there's a lot in common as well. We'll take a look at the Roku 3, an alternative, a little more expensive alternative to the WDTV Play a little later on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got some tablets for you and the world's smallest e-book reader. I can't believe the size of this thing. Before we do that, though, let me show you Audible.com. I don't have to tell you what Audible is. I shouldn't have to. If you've watched our network, you know many of us are massive fans of audiobooks. What are you listening to?
It's called Love in the Afternoon.
Well. Is it romantic?
Yes.
Is it sexy?
Not yet. But it's supposed to be.
Oh, how fun. Love in the afternoon.
Not going to listen to that in public.
I love audiobooks. I really do. And, you know, any kind of audiobook. And Audible has them all, over 100,000 titles. Fiction, nonfiction, romance, yes, thrillers, mysteries. I listen to a lot of history and biography because I want to feel like I'm using my time well. But then, you know, I intersperse that with some great science fiction. There's lots of it at audible.com. Right now I'm reading that Patrick Rothfuss trilogy. The first two books are available. And when Patrick finishes the third, I'm sure it'll be available as well. The Kingkiller Chronicles. You probably heard us talk about The Name of the Wind. Just really wonderful books. You can get one of these books free, whether it's Love in the Afternoon or The Shining. They've got great Stephen King novels. Just visit audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy, and you'll be signing up for the Gold account. That's a book a month subscription, but your first 30 days are free. Your first book is free. You cancel any time in that first 30 days. You pay nothing. The book is yours to keep forever. I don't think you're going to want to cancel. Audible is an amazing thing. And check out the Audible apps on your iPhone, your Android device, your Windows phone, even on Windows 8 now. audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. Love in the afternoon, huh?
I got it for free on Valentine's Day. They had a promotion going.
Oh, isn't that romantic? Yeah. Oh, that's cute. Does your fiance listen to Audible books?
Not yet.
You better get him listening. Yeah, because you know what's great when you have the little ones, the kids.
Oh yeah.
And you take a road trip. There are some wonderful books. I remember doing this with Abby and Henry for kind of kids, but they're like Bud Not Buddy, great book. And we listened to it. We talked about it. Man, it makes those road trips so much more fun when you're all on the same page, so to speak.
That's cool.
Loved it. audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. Tony Wang, he's the editor-in-chief. He's somewhere around here, but we asked him to... did he laugh when you gave him this, Shannon? The world's tiniest.
He looked at it and he was like, oh, fix it in my pocket.
Well, that's the advantage. It's the Kobo Mini. Let's see what Tony thought.
I'm Tony Wayne for Twitter TV and Before You Buy, and today I'm going to take a look at the Kobo Mini e-ink reader. The Kobo Mini is actually a very compact e-ink reader. It is much smaller than your standard size Kindle e-ink reader, and just for comparison, it's shorter than a Galaxy Note and just barely wider than a Galaxy Note. So what do you get from the Kobo Mini? You get a Wi-Fi enabled 5-inch display e-ink reader. And out of the box, the most noticeable factor of this e-ink reader is the size. I mean, it is as thick as a mobile phone, and it's not that much wider, so it's actually very easy to hold. 4.7 ounces, so it's very light, and you can throw it in your bag and you don't even know it's there. The Kobo comes with a touchscreen display and is very responsive, and I don't have any issues getting it to turn pages. Although there are some ghosting going on after a few pages, but it's pretty common in e-readers. If you're interested in reading non-DRM material such as EPUB, this would be a good reader for you. If you're interested in subscribing to newspaper or magazines, you can actually try them on your Kobo Mini for 14 days free before you buy. And just like the Kindle readers, you can download software for your Kobo on your Android and your iOS devices and even your desktop. So you don't even have to have your Kobo Mini with you to read your books. One of the concerns I have about the Kobo Mini is that it has 2 GB built-in storage, but only half of that is available for you to store books. So you're looking at about 1,000 books. The display on the Kobo Mini is what they call the Pro e-ink display. So for all intents and purposes, this is just a standard e-ink display. There's nothing, there's no backlight, so it doesn't light up or anything. The battery life is obviously amazing, just like all other e-ink reader out there, such as Sony and Kindle. And the standby time is about a month, just like the industry standard. And they even try to add a little flair to the e-ink reader with a built-in removable backing, so you can change the color of your e-ink reader. The Kobo Mini is reasonably priced at $79, so it's very competitive with other e-ink readers out there. Now for the pros of the device, this thing is so small, it can actually fit in my pants pocket. And the con of the Kobo is that their library is just not as big as Amazon, which has been established long before these guys, and way bigger. And with Amazon Prime, you can rent a book a month for free. So buy, try, or don't buy, I'm going to go ahead and give this device a try. It's definitely worth going to the store and picking one up. Just hold it in your hand and see how it feels in your hand. Read a few pages and see if this is the device for you. I'm Tony for Twit.tv, and before you buy, and this is the Kobo Mini.
It is kind of tiny. I like that. You just pop it right in your shirt pocket and have it with you. Although these e-ink screens are not invulnerable. A good shot to this, it'd be ruined. So you might want to keep it somewhere a little bit more secure than that. Thank you, Tony Wang, editor-in-chief at twit.tv. Now, our esteemed IT guy is here from Exponentia Systems. It's exponentia.com.
Yeah, exponentia.com.
Yeah. Russell Tammany. We would not be able to get on the air without this guy. But I hope you didn't take any time reviewing this. This is actually your own Nexus 10.
This is actually, yeah, so this is the Google Nexus 10.
We've been hearing so much about this because it's such high resolution.
Yes, and that's really the key feature of this screen, and it's sort of what took me to purchase it over the other Android.
Was there a long wait to get it? Is it in stock now?
It is in stock now, but sometimes it's kind of come on the store and been there for a couple hours, and then it goes away again, then it comes back. So one of the times that it kind of came around, I just decided to buy it, and
you know, and I got it.
So
it's a 10-inch Android 4.
It's a 10-inch Android 4.22.
22 latest Android.
Whatever the latest Android is,
because it's
can
a
have
Nexus.
It on the Nexus.
Right. So
the great thing about it is that the screen is 2560 by 1600.
Wait a minute, 2560 by 16. Compare that to the 1366 by 768 of the 15-inch screen Shannon was looking at.
Wow!
Right. Holy cow! Look at the resolution.
That you know, as a photographer, like I like to load my full size images on this.
How's the color reproduction?
Really good.
It's not merely resolution; it's also how accurate it is.
Right. So this is actually a little bit muted. The saturation's a little bit low, but it's very accurate seeming.
Better than say an OLED screen where it'd be overly saturated.
Yeah. So I prefer. So this is not. It's about 300 DPI, so it's very high resolution. The color gamut is sort of a little compressed and it's a little muted, but I prefer that look because it's kind of what you're going to get out of a print.
Right.
As opposed to the OLED, you know, everything is orange and super bright, you know, oversaturated screens.
I got to say, given how many pixels you're pushing when you slide those around, it is very fast.
Yeah.
Must be a quad core.
It's actually a dual core. It's Samsung Exynos 1.7.
It's not even that fast, huh?
Well, 1.7 is actually pretty fast.
Okay.
So for single-threaded, Android applications, they actually run very, very quickly.
That's a good point. Multi-core doesn't help you if you're just flipping pixels.
Right. So I would prefer a dual-core 1.7 over a quad-core like 900 or something.
Right, right.
So
pretty typically 1.4 to 1.5 nowadays in the quad-core.
Right. And so the other nice thing about this screen is that you've got a 16:10 ratio. So because it's 2560 by 1600.
Widescreen.
It's widescreen, but what's important is that it leaves enough space. So now that Google has switched to the on-screen, back, and home, and switching buttons, and the little notification bar at the top.
You need that room.
It means you actually have 16:9,
right.
Give or take a couple pixels.
That's where the black bars would be.
On the screen, yeah, that's kind of where the black bars would be. Yeah. So it's really a very fast tablet. Everything performs great on it.
How much memory in that?
This is one of the issues. So because this is a Nexus, it's got 16 gigs. Or
storage.
32 gigs of storage.
Does it have an SD card slot?
It does not have an SD card slot. So the issue with Nexus is that Google's decided, kind of across all their Nexus devices, that it was complicated for users to store things on their SD card.
Right.
And it really was. I mean, you would save your pictures, and then did this app put them on the SD card? Did this app put them in the internal storage? And instead of kind of fixing the operating system to make that very clear.
They just turned it off
and physically removed your ability to do that.
Right.
And unfortunately, They also removed your ability to, even using a USB OTG cable, to use mass storage.
There's no OTG capability.
There is an OTG capability, but it doesn't work with storage devices. So, you know, because
so
this is a
Nexus.
So that's
the cable that turns the micro USB into a standard full-size USB as a master.
Correct.
So that you could theoretically plug in an external hard drive, except that it doesn't work.
It doesn't work for storage. So it works for mouse, keyboard. My Canon camera will actually plug in and use DSLR.
Interesting.
Remote,
so that does
great.
Work. Okay.
But, you know, you can put, because this is a Nexus, you can unlock it. You can put your custom ROMs on. You can get that feature back. You can pretty much do whatever you want. But I wanted to have the Nexus experience of the latest Google software, nothing else on it. The other issue is that you don't really have any 3G or 4G options. This is sold Wi-Fi only.
There is.
You go to Google and they've got just a 16 and a 32. The 16 gig is $399 and the 32 is $499.
Well, the price isn't too bad.
So the price is
and they are
not
in stock
bad. It's
and
a little bit
now,
premium. So and, you know, my main issue is that if they're going to sell you the extra 32 gigs, they're charging you $100 for that extra 16 gigabytes of extra
storage.
It
doesn't cost them that much.
It does not cost them that much. Yeah. So I purchased the 16 gig version because I'm streaming everything with Subsonic or DSub or Google Play or you know, one of the other cloud services. So a couple other things about it. It's got really nice speakers right here in the front. So you have speakers on the left and the right side.
Stereo.
They're stereo and they're facing you. And, you know, it's not great, but compared to a lot of other tablets, you know, like the Microsoft Surface and even the iPad, like, you know, the sound is sort of
you wouldn't want to listen to music, but you could listen to music, you could watch YouTube videos.
You can watch
to books,
YouTube videos kind of, and it makes playing a game, you know, it makes playing a game tolerable. You don't have to get out the headphones to play a game.
Well, there you have it. The Nexus 10, it was just, everybody was raving over it, especially when they saw the specs for the screen. I've never seen such a high res screen. It's nice. Sounds like it's a nice screen. Pros and cons.
So pros are that it's fast and responsive. It's got the very high resolution screen, which is kind of an only item in the Android marketplace right now.
Yeah.
And it's really the best Android tablet experience. You know, being the Nexus experience, getting the updates, getting everything out. You know that this device is going to be around and be updated, which you have to worry about with other devices. So you get all the great features like the user switching and all of that.
Cons
are that it's got no memory slot at all.
So no upgrade ability.
You're also lacking any 3G and 4G options, which is something that I would really like to have. And there's limited accessories. So Google's given you a little Pogo charging dock on the bottom.
It doesn't use the micro USB?
It does use micro USB. So you've got your micro USB. The issue with the micro USB is that it can take about 6 hours to charge if it's on from empty.
It's not a very long wattage on that.
It's not a lot. If you're actually using it while you're charging it, you're barely going to get any charge by the time you go.
So you want to use the dock.
So you want to use this connector, except they don't sell anything for it.
Oh.
So, you know,
you would want to use it.
You would want to get a higher amperage charger or a keyboard dock or a desktop dock or something. But there's just no accessories available for it. And that's a little disappointing.
Well, you spent your own money for it. Now, in hindsight, buy, try, don't buy.
In hindsight, I'm still going to give it a buy. If you want an Android tablet, it's certainly a buy. I can't really think of any other Android tablet I'd rather have. I would rather have this with 3G and 4G and with a micro SD slot. So I may make the trade-off to trade it for a 3G or 4G Samsung, but you know, it's
you know
really
what I'm intrigued by is the Chromebook Pixel that'll run Android apps, it'll run Linux, and it'll, of course, run Chrome OS. Similar screen resolution.
Right.
Of course, it's bigger, it's heavier, and it's got a keyboard.
It's bigger, it's heavier, and it's a more premium feel. And
it's also three times more expensive.
It's something that I hope carries across into the next Nexus because this is built by Samsung. And
really, that's not an Acer or an Asus or somebody else.
It's actually got Samsung's branding all over it, the charger, the back.
Oh, so it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because of that, it kind of has a little bit of a.
It looks like a Samsung.
It's pretty solid, but every once in a while, when you kind of grab it in the back, it'll kind of creak or crack or just kind of pop. It's not as high end as the Chromebook Pixel engineer.
But it is the highest end Android tablet out there. So for that reason alone. Russell Tammany, Exponentia.com. Exponetia.com.
Exponentia.
Entia.
There's my awesome 2002 website.
You know, it does everything you need and then some.
Yes.
And so do you. And we're so glad to have you. Thank you, Russell.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a bit, I'm going to take a walk over here because we've got a Dell tablet. Kind of want to look at the Windows 8 side of the equation. And I am going to compare the new Roku 3 to this WDTV Play. But first, a reminder to the postal professionals out there. If you do a lot of mailing, you got to go to Stamps.com right now and sign up. Because Stamps.com means you don't have to go to the post office anymore. That waste of time where you go drive, find parking, get in line, get stamps. You don't have to do it anymore. You don't even have to do it to mail packages. Everything you do right now at the post office, you could do right from your desk without ever getting up. Using your computer, your printer, you don't need a postage meter. Excuse me. You don't need special inks. You just need Stamps.com. In fact, you even get discounts you can't get at the post office. Up to 21% on express mail. Up to 15% on priority mail. Stamps.com is a fantastic way to get your mailing done. You can put it right on the envelope. It'll pick up the address from your QuickBooks, your address book, your eBay or Etsy or PayPal website. It'll fill out the forms if you're doing international mailing. If you're doing priority or express mail, it'll send an email to the recipient with the tracking information, all automatically, quickly saving you time, saving you money. Now, you see that great no-risk trial offer on the front? My friends, we can do better than that. If you click the microphone and enter before you buy, you'll have a chance for a $110 bonus offer, including $55 in free postage. You get the beautiful USB scale that we love so very much. This silvery, shiny USB scale, so you always have exactly the right postage. You'll get a supply kit and a four-week trial of Stamps.com, all just because you used the offer code before you buy. Special deal. Don't tell anybody. That's just for you. Before you buy, viewers, Stamps.com. It's the pro way to mail. All right. Follow me now, Brian Burnett, because I'm going to stand up. I am going to walk. I'm going over here to say hello to Alex Gumpel. Whoa, scared him in his lab coat. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, Leah, how's it going?
So Alex is kind of a Windows 8 fan.
Sometimes.
What do you think of Windows 8, honestly? I mean, it can be frustrating, can't it?
Yeah, some things are good, some are bad. I generally stick to the desktop on most things,
as
but on
Paul
a tablet, Farratt. On tablets, it's nice.
Yeah, so, well, then that's a question. So right. You have a Surface RT.
What I like is that I would rather have all my machines running the same thing, using the same login, so it's all
makes
connected
sense.
Together, and I could still run tablet apps on the desktop if I need to and get to my stuff. Right. But then you have to still deal with Metro stuff on the desktop, which is always kind of hit or miss.
Right. You have a Windows 8 phone. Unfortunately, the same apps don't work on RT.
Right,
Windows
although
8
I think they're working
Pro.
On that.
They
so
are
that
working
might,
on
might,
so you do have a Surface RT, right?
I do.
And you have a Surface Pro.
I do not.
You do not.
No.
This would be this would be instead of the Surface Pro. This is the Dell.
No.
This is an RT
this
tablet.
This is an RT tablet.
Ah.
That surprised me, too. And so
this
that's
is
actually
the XPS 10. There haven't been many third-party RT tablets.
No, there haven't. And that's actually my biggest complaint is it's RT, which means it's kind of competing with the Surface.
Right.
But it's not quite as nice as the Surface in hardware-wise.
You put it down a little bit so we can look at it because we're looking over your shoulder here. It's a good-looking screen.
Yeah, it's nice. It's an IPS screen. It's nothing.
Which means that the viewing angle is very good. In fact, as you see as I tilt it. Why you can
right,
look
yeah.
at it almost obliquely, and it still looks pretty good.
So it's an ARM processor. It's got a 1.5 gigahertz Snapdragon S4. It's got 32 or 64 gigabytes of eMMC storage, so it's not an SSD.
What's the difference?
SSDs are faster, I think.
Okay.
I don't actually know.
Yeah, see, okay.
It's just flash chips or a drive
right.
component,
got
I guess.
It.
I'm not sure exactly.
Okay.
I know that the Surface Pro has an SSD while the Surface RT has eMMC.
Got it.
It's 1.4 pounds, so it's just a little bit lighter than the Surface.
It's interesting when you compare the two.
It's also got a slightly smaller screen.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the same size with the bezel. It's got a larger bezel than the Surface, but
right.
Surface is 10.6. This is 10.1.
And in terms of speed, do they feel
similar? They're identical. In
they really
sense,
are.
Yeah.
In fact, the hardware is the same, isn't it?
Right, yeah. Well, this is a NVIDIA Tegra, while this is a Snapdragon.
Okay.
But they're
very
almost
similar.
Identical.
Okay.
Now one thing about this, though, is that it comes with this handy thing, a keyboard dock.
It comes with it?
Some SKUs do. So you can either get it with or without it,
again,
depending on how much
like
you pay
for.
Again, this
is much like the Microsoft product where you can buy it with or without a keyboard.
Right, except this is actually a keyboard dock,
it's
not
a real
just a floppy
keyboard.
Thing. So if you turn it into a tablet or a laptop
mode that's like
here,
a laptop.
It's actually more like a laptop than the Surface would be.
Pretty solid click.
And it's solid. And
wait
it's,
a minute.
And you can have it on your lap.
It almost fell right over. You got to be careful
there. It's nice and sturdy. It's got a nice clasp.
Yeah, but it seems like it's just a little bit of weight on here.
But okay, so do it there. Now it's
okay. Low. Good.
There we go. That's better.
Much better.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that's what you get when you have all the weight in the screen there. Yeah. Now with the dock, you also get two USB ports on the sides. You got a micro or mini HDMI port, and it comes with a nice mini HDMI to regular HDMI dongle. It's got integrated speakers in it.
Okay.
In the dock, so you get a little bit of volume boost if you're using that.
Yeah.
The keyboard is 92% full size, so it's just smaller than full size.
You know, given that this is a tablet and it's not really as big as a laptop screen, that's pretty good. You're getting a decent size keyboard.
Yeah, I still have some trouble with it.
Do
you? Yeah, and actually the biggest problem with this is the trackpad. It's a nice trackpad with gestures, but there's no palm rejection. So if you're typing,
and
your palm hits the thing and your cursor is somewhere else, you're going to start typing another paragraph, and it's really annoying. But hopefully that's be fixed with a software update.
That's software, yeah.
So that's not actually that bad.
Okay.
But so one thing about this, unlike the Surface, is that the speakers are let me get the camera first. It's got a 5-megapixel camera on the rear and a 2-megapixel camera on the front, so you can get some nice group shots there like that. That looks really creepy. Let's not look at that.
No, I kind of like it, actually.
No. and there's also there's no LTE in this, but apparently that's coming soon. So
what do you mean coming soon? That would be another SKU, though.
Another SKU, yeah. That has a SIM one. Slot in it for, right.
So
LTE.
If you want an LTE, wait and get the LTE
version. Right.
Okay.
They say it's coming soon.
Right.
We'll
Whatever
see about
that,
that
means, yeah.
It's also got micro USB for charging, trickle charging, but also it comes with a dongle to full USB. But unlike the Nexus 10, this does support storage.
The on-the-go or OTG capability.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so, yeah.
That's what Samsung calls it. Probably like, you know, Dell has.
I plugged the USB drive and it worked, so.
Yeah. That's all we really
That's
care.
All I care about, yeah. So one thing about this that's actually way better than the Surface is that mm-hmm. the speakers are pretty loud. So we play some music here.
You didn't like the audio on the Surface.
The Surface is just really quiet.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's average. But now if we turn it up,
Oh, yeah.
It's not a really loud song, but you could. It's good. And if it's tinny, but it's if you're.
It's interesting how our standards have changed, you know, because.
Yeah.
Russell was saying how good the sound was out of his tablet. Tablet sound to me, just like phone sound, always sounds kind of
exactly.
Tiny.
But it's good for on Skype
loud.
Or whatever. But yeah. Now we plug it in.
Oh, it's coming out of this.
Nope. Give it a second. Oh, did it switch over? Yeah, okay.
Well, that's interesting. So there's another set of speakers on here.
I don't think it's switched over. It's supposed to switch over. There it goes.
There it goes.
So you get some good volume with that.
It's well, at least I recognize the Beach Boys now.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't without that. So, I mean, it's you're not going to want to listen to music on it, but, you know, what same thing with the
Books,
Nexus.
Books, YouTube
know,
videos, games.
That's all good. And that's what the Surface really lacks is,
right.
is loud volume.
Right.
So that's nice. Let's see. So it's in now. It does come with, if you're new to Windows 8, Windows RT, Dell's provides a nice getting started tutorial app. You know, you learn all your swipes and gestures and whatnot. But if you know what you're doing, then you don't need that. But
how about
it's a nice thing.
Does Dell load this up, or is it
all it comes
clean?
With that, and it comes with the Dell Shop thing.
That's nice because I've seen
it.
A lot of Windows 8 machines even that come with a lot.
Oh yeah,
of other
that
stuff.
That Acer I had came with a lot
yeah,
of stuff.
Loaded.
Yeah,
loaded. Yeah.
So this is nice, and it comes with Skype. But
thank you, Dell.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you,
fine.
Dell. Well, you're going to install Skype probably anyway. Right.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it. Now it prices $449 to $679.99.
So it's roughly the same as the Surface,
it's
isn't it?
It's $50 cheaper than the Surface for the
wow.
for the base 32 gig model.
And when you add
the
keyboard, how much is the keyboard?
Keyboard adds another $100 somewhere.
Very
in there.
Similar to the keyboard
yeah,
on the Surface.
So it's.
So the real question, well, let's do pros and cons, and I'll ask you the real question, which is, should you buy this or the Microsoft product? Pros and cons.
Okay, so pros and cons. So pros, it's light and comfortable. You know, you hold that, it's nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's made. Oh, and oh, so one thing actually about this is it's got the same styling as the other XPS laptops and tablets.
It doesn't feel maybe as robust as
exactly.
the Surface.
That's actually one of my cons is that it's creaky.
Yeah.
You,
I can
you
even
kind
feel
of twist
it
and torque it, and
yeah.
it's, it makes some creaky sounds, and yeah. it doesn't feel quite as solid
Surface
as this.
Is squarer, but it feels more unibody.
But it's you can't twist it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that's this
that
is solid. That's
that magnesium thing that they're doing.
Right, and yeah. it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's but it's it still feels nice in your hand. It's got the soft touch rubbery coating on the back.
This is a physical button.
It's
as
got a physical Windows
the
button as opposed to the
glass
capacitive
one.
Button
yeah.
there. So back to pros and cons. So pros, it's light and comfortable. It's got the nice IPS screen, and because it's Windows RT, it's got Office included.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But so does every Windows RT machine.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. It's an RT machine. But if it were an Atom-based machine, it would not come
would
with
not.
That. You'd have
That's
to pay
right.
extra.
Yep.
So cons, it's Windows RT. I don't understand Windows RT and what the point is right now.
Where does it belong in the spectrum of things?
I don't know.
You can't really blame this for being Windows RT. Well, it's an RT tablet.
If Dell had made this with an Atom processor, like they have,
Then it would be Windows 8.
Dell makes the Latitude 10, right, which is almost identical to this, but with an Atom processor. Right. But it doesn't work with the dock because it's got different connectors on the back. If they had just made that one thing with Atom, it would have been a much better tablet.
So I guess really the question isn't what I thought it was going to be, which is should I buy this or the Surface RT? It's should I buy this or a Windows 8 tablet.
Right. So I'm giving it a try because of that.
Okay.
So, and just a little story. So recently I bought my dad his first new computer in a long time, and I bought him an HP Envy X2. It's the same kind of thing as this tablet that detaches, but it's an Atom machine. I was all right with the styling and the hardware of that. If this came with an Atom chip, I would have much rather gotten this.
You would have
the HP because I like this
as a Windows 8 machine.
Exactly, I would not buy a Windows RT machine because you can't run any of the old stuff.
Right.
But I like this better than the current Stamps kind of hybrid laptops tablets.
Let me ask you this: if you said I'm going to buy Windows RT, it would be a buy.
If I was going to buy Windows RT, I'd still go with the Surface.
Go with the Surface.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's a try. It's nice. Try it out. It's like a lot of these Windows 8 machines that are there's all over the map now, it really depends on what you need. You can't buy them all. You can't not buy them all. So you just see what you need.
The Flowmaster, Alex Gumpel, our Windows expert. Thank you.
Sure.
I just nominated you. Nobody else wants to do it. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it.
Welcome.
I am going to show you the Roku. Are you ready? This is the new Roku 3. Just came out. I ordered it immediately, and it was delivered to me a few days after the order. $99 for the Roku 3, and I'll show you a couple of the differences in the new Roku 3. First of all, you can see as Burke slides it in, it's small. It has a simple back plane with only really three cables. It's got an HDMI cable. That's right, just HDMI. So you can only use this with an HDMI-capable television. An Ethernet jack, although Wi-Fi is built in. You have your choice of Ethernet or Wi-Fi. If you have the capability, Ethernet is infinitely better in terms of performance, I must say. And DC in, and that's it. It is a small little puck. In fact, when I took this out of my TV system this morning to bring it in, I accidentally took the Apple TV because they looked so much alike. In fact, the second part of the Roku, its remote control is almost as big as the puck. But the remote control is the biggest difference in the new Roku, because if you look at it carefully, you'll see on the side, there is a headphone jack. The new Roku 3 has a feature that I think is a killer feature. Now, it comes with earbuds. I didn't use it with the purple Roku earbuds, even though they're color coordinated. I actually plugged in some very good high quality headphones into this, and I was thrilled to note there's no latency. The sound is excellent. I was getting great deep bass. I was getting a lot of a loud sound. It works exactly as you would hope for. This becomes all you need to have wireless audio in your television set. So if you're looking for a TV you can listen to in the bedroom while your spouse sleeps, I'm going to make sure my mom has this. She's a little hard of hearing, sometimes turns the TV up a little too loud for the rest of us. Now she can watch TV and turn it up as loud as she wants. The Roku remote has volume controls on it, which actually control the volume on the TV set as well as on the remote control. So that is a great convenience. Let's take a look at what's new. Oh, one more thing that's not new, but you might have noticed in the previous Roku, you got the A and B buttons on here. This is a gaming device with an accelerometer in it, and you can play Angry Birds and other games using this remote control of the A, B buttons and its positioning in space. I don't do it very much, and I have to say when I tried it with earlier Rokus, I found that they were sort of underpowered to play games. You can't say this Roku 3 is underpowered. They've definitely enhanced the processor in the Roku, and it is very, very capable. Let's show you the new Roku interface. This is going to propagate, I think, to all the Roku devices soon. The one thing I don't like about it is that a lot of the real estate here is dedicated to an ad. So this is an ad for Hulu Plus, taking up about a third of the screen real estate. There's a Roku channel store. These are my channels. You can add the channel store. Has a huge number of thousands of channels, all kinds of stuff you can watch. Including some interesting apps. Plex is on here, for instance. So if you like Plex and you want to watch content, remember how excited Iaz was to be able to use the WDTV to play content from the rest of his network. Well, you can use Plex to do this. Unlike the WDTV, this does have Amazon Instant Video. In fact, the only thing the Roku 3 doesn't have is iTunes. Here's the games section. You can see a lot of fun games on here. I don't know if if you want a gaming device, get an Xbox, get a PlayStation 3. I don't think the Roku is well suited to this, but I guess for some very casual gaming, this might be okay. I really like the Roku for playing back video, and it excels at this. The new Roku is faster than it's ever been. The HD TV is excellent. You can get places like Amazon and Vudu. You can get 1080p video through your Roku, and it works great. Notice there's this new thing, and I'm going to show you because I asked Tony. I said, hey, does anybody have a movie? Tony said, yeah, I got some stuff on here, some TV on this USB key. This Roku 3 has a USB port. I'm going to stick a little – I haven't done this before. This will be a first. I'll stick some a USB key in there, and I'll launch the Roku USB media player. And I should be able to. We'll see. I don't know. Tony just said, I don't know what's on here. You're a brave man. Let's select it and browse. It's scanning the drive. Entourage Season 8. Shall we play a little Entourage? Disc 1. It's an MP4. Let's play it back. It's content disabled. Tony, where did you get this? The sound quality is superb. So, okay. That's actually, I'm glad we did that. Because now you know you need to have, obviously, uncopy protected content on your USB device for that to work. But it does play. Where'd you get that, Tony? Was that a rip?
That was an HDCP.
It's an HDCP, I understand. But where did you get the content? You found it in a hotel. Okay, it was on the floor there. There's lots of stuff besides television stations you can subscribe to. Now, Time Warner has an app on here that lets you watch live television. I'm not a Time Warner subscriber, so I can't do it. And we just heard a rumor that ABC is making an app for iOS, but I wouldn't be surprised to see this on the Roku. This is the ultimate cord-cutting device, I think, going forward when you see networks. There's HBO Go on here. I don't have it installed because my content provider, my cable company, Xfinity, does not allow HBO Go signups on the Roku. It does on the iOS, but for some reason they're afraid of Roku. However, let's go to Netflix and I'll show you. It works very well. The quality is excellent. In fact, these headphones are so good that when I was playing lower quality content, I could hear the digital artifacting. It was really, really annoying. So that actually is a problem. You're actually hearing really good quality audio. Should we play a little Battlestar Galactica, see how it plays back? This is, again, going to work via Wi-Fi. It's not your fault, Tony. It's the cable we're using or the TV we're using. Maybe I just unplug this. Maybe that'll make it better. No, I think this is the cable we're using. Is this not an HDCP compliant cable? What are we going into? Oh, we're not going directly into the TV, ladies and gentlemen. The engineering staff has set this up because they're pirates. Because they're not pirates. They didn't understand that you have to go directly into an HDCP device, which actually is the case. We shall see Battlestar Galactica. There we go. There we go. Let me press play. All right. So, as you can see, the quality is excellent. It's HDMI, 1080p. Playback is smooth. This is a – I don't know because they don't tell you what the hardware is in here. I'm sure somebody will do – maybe the iFix will do a teardown and we'll find out. But it's clearly a much faster processor, maybe even more memory on this because it plays back beautifully. There are more than 600 channels, according to Roku. I've seen databases of thousands of channels that play back on the Roku. I love the – let's do the pros and cons. The pros, I love the in-ear, the headphone jack on the remote control. It works beautifully. It has excellent video quality, HDMI, beautiful streaming quality, which will, by the way, work better on Ethernet than it will on Wi-Fi because Ethernet just is a better way of connecting. It does have a micro SD memory expansion slot. We'll see how that gets used. I don't know. I guess you can put movies on it. It does support USB and USB video. Should we try Tony's stick? See if that works now? Let's see it. Let's see. Maybe we can watch some Entourage. That'd be fun. It plays back MKV, MP4, a variety of files. you know, the kind of files you might have. There is a remote app for iOS and Android devices. And I love it that they come, they offer a Roku USB media player. Let's just try this one more time. It's going to load the content off the USB device. You could plug a big hard drive on here, USB thumb drive, and playback stuff. I think that's a real positive. Let's see now. All right, there we go. We're stealing content like a pro. Yeah, he found it on the floor in a hotel. It's not his fault, okay? Look at the quality, though. It's playing back beautifully. No hesitation. Absolute great video quality. If there's a con, it's that it doesn't play iTunes. It's the one thing it doesn't play. That's not Roku's fault. It's Apple won't let it. But it does everything else. It does it beautifully. Absolutely a buy. If you're a Roku fan, you'll recognize the value of the Roku 3. If you've never tried a Roku, it's, in my opinion, the best set-top box out there. And I love it that I can take my USB content, plug it into the Roku, and play it instantly just like that. So a definite buy for the Roku 3. I was going to show you there are some... one con I didn't mention. It does not come with an HDMI cable. You'll need to buy one. They're just a few bucks at monoprice.com. Roku sells them as well. They also sell a mounting kit, which is kind of cool. So if you've got a TV and you want to make it into a smart TV, the mounting kit allows you to mount the Roku behind the TV on the rails of the TV very easily. It's got adapters and connectors for a variety of different situations. I think that's a great idea, too, the mounting kit, so that you can hide the Roku, small as it is, behind the TV. Nobody will know you have a dumb TV. You suddenly have a very smart TV. Wow, did we have some fun today. Thanks to Shannon Morse, Ayaz Akhtar, Tony Wang, Russell Tammany, Alex Gumpel for their reviews. Thank you for joining us. Oh, this is that episode. I better pause that. one of my favorites, though. It's quite an enjoyable episode. If you want to email us with your questions, your comments, your suggestions for stuff you'd like us to review, it's byb@twit.tv. We do the show every Tuesday afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 2300 UTC. Please watch live. You can see all sorts of fun things happen that we probably edit out, right, later on in the show. But if not, you can always get the edited versions, the audio or video on-demand downloads at twit.tv/byb or wherever better podcasts are stored. We also have a YouTube channel where all the reviews go. It's youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. On behalf of Shannon and the gang, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Before You Buy. Let me just watch the rest of this scene. It's so good.